All right, so today we're diving into a case out of New York, Insurance Company of North America v. Godwin.
Okay.
And it's a really good look into how insurance policies are interpreted
Right.
when like real world events bump up against the fine print,
Yeah.
especially when it comes to public policy.
Uh-huh.
So this should be helpful for all of you listening out there as you work your way through law school and seeing how these precedents shape how the law is actually applied.
Absolutely.
So basically, this case is about a really fundamental question.
Okay.
When something happens that should be covered by insurance, you know, an insured event,
Right.
in this case, it's an accident with an uninsured motorist, what are the rules, the principles that determine whether or not the insurance company has to pay up, even if parts of the contract, the policy, seem to say otherwise?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Okay, so let's set the scene.
All right.
We've got Andrew Godwin, he's a New York resident,
Okay.
and he's driving in Ohio. And unfortunately, he gets into an accident with a driver who doesn't have insurance.
Oh, no.
Now, Godwin, smart guy, he has two different insurance policies that cover uninsured motorists.
Okay.
One with INA, that's the Insurance Company of North America,
Right.
and another with Countrywide.
Got it.
But here's where things get a little messy.
Okay.
Both insurance companies try to deny Godwin's claim.
Really?
Yeah, Countrywide says that their policy only covers accidents that happen in New York State.
Interesting.
And then INA says, well, our policy doesn't cover you if you're driving a vehicle that we don't insure.
That's
Because
right.
you can see the problem, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Godwin did the right thing, got insurance for this exact situation,
No.
and now both companies are trying to use the fine print to get out of paying.
That's a tough spot to be in.
So this brings us to the two big legal questions we're going to unpack today.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, is Countrywide's argument even legal under New York law? Can they really limit coverage based on where the accident happened? And second, how do we interpret the language in INA's policy?
Yeah.
It's a little vague, right? So
Definitely.
what does it actually mean in this specific case?
Two questions.
So in this deep dive, we really want to figure out how New York law protects people who have insurance
Yeah.
from the risks of drivers who don't. And we're also going to break down how New York courts look at insurance contracts,
Okay.
especially when those contracts might go against what's good for the public as a whole.
Makes sense.
So let's start with Countrywide and their whole Ohio isn't New York argument.
Right.
They're basically saying, tough luck, you had an accident out of state, so we're not covering it.
Right.
But the court didn't buy that. Why not?
So the court really focused on a specific New York law,
Yeah.
NY Insurance Law, Section 1172A.
Uh-huh.
And this law is pretty clear.
Okay.
It says that any car insurance policy issued in New York
Mm-hmm.
for a car that's mainly used or kept in New York
Yeah.
has to include uninsured motorist coverage.
Has to.
No way around it.
Oh.
And what's really important is that the court didn't see anything in that law that said insurance companies could get out of this requirement just because an accident happens outside of New York.
So it wasn't just about the contract between Godwin and Countrywide. There
Exactly.
was a bigger legal principle at play.
That's right. Bigger than both of them.
State law kind of stepped in and said, nope, this is how it's going to be.
Exactly. And this case really highlights this important idea in law that contracts between people are important, but they can't go against what the state thinks is necessary to protect its people,
Right.
for the public good.
Public policy trumps the contract.
Right.
So the court really emphasized how important this section of the law is.
Yeah.
It's meant to protect New Yorkers from huge financial problems
Yeah.
if they get into an accident with someone who doesn't have insurance. So the court basically said that insurance companies can't use these geographic limits to get around that protection. No matter where in the US a New Yorker is driving, they should be covered. Okay, so that explains why Countrywide lost. The state wants its people protected, and that's that. Now let's move on to INA.
Okay.
Their reason for denying coverage was that Godwin was on his motorcycle
Right.
when the accident happened.
Yeah.
And their policy says they don't have to pay if the insured person is driving a vehicle that INA doesn't insure.
Interesting.
So how did the court handle that argument?
Well, this is where another big legal principle comes in.
Okay.
It's called contra proferentum.
Contra proferentum.
And what's interesting here is how the court looked very closely at the language INA used in their policy,
Okay.
specifically how they defined automobile. It's a pretty narrow definition,
Okay.
and it didn't say anything about motorcycles.
Interesting.
So there's this ambiguity.
Right.
Did they mean to exclude motorcycles or not?
Right. It wasn't clear.
And because it wasn't clear, the court had to interpret that language.
And remind us what contra proferentum means.
Sure. So it's Latin, and it basically means against the offer.
Okay.
In plain English, it means that if the language in a contract is unclear, and that contract is written by one of the parties, like an insurance company writing a policy,
right,
the court is going to interpret that unclear language in a way that benefits the other party.
The person who didn't write it.
Exactly. The one who just signed it.
So they get the benefit of the doubt.
Right. Exactly.
Like if you order food at a restaurant and the menu description is confusing, you'd probably get what you thought you were ordering.
Yeah.
Even if the restaurant meant something else.
Exactly. And in this case, because INA's policy didn't clearly exclude motorcycles, the court said that the exclusion didn't apply to Godwin's accident.
So INA had to pay up.
That's right.
So the takeaway here is if something in your insurance policy is unclear,
yeah,
that ambiguity could actually work in your favor.
It's a good point. Good to know.
That's definitely good to know. It seems like insurance companies really have to be super clear in their policies.
Oh, absolutely.
Or they could end up having to pay when they didn't think they would.
Right. They can't just rely on some sneaky interpretation later on.
No, the burden is on them, to be clear.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's one more wrinkle in this case.
Okay.
Both INA and Countrywide had these clauses in their policies.
Uh-huh.
That said, their uninsured motorist coverage would be excess.
Right.
If the insured person had other similar coverage.
So secondary coverage.
Right, like a backup.
Yeah.
So how did the court deal with that?
This is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
It's about how multiple insurance policies work together when they have these kinds of escape clauses.
Got it.
So usually an excess clause makes a policy secondary.
Meaning
it only pays out if the losses are more than what the primary insurance policy covers.
Okay, so it kicks in after the first one runs out.
Exactly. It's like a safety net. But in Godwin's case, both of his policies had this excess clause.
Oh, so they were both trying to be secondary.
Right. And the court saw the problem with this.
Which was?
If they took both of those clauses literally,
yeah,
neither insurance company would have to pay as the primary insurer.
So Godwin would be left with no coverage at all.
Exactly. Even though he had two policies.
That seems pretty unfair.
Yeah. It completely defeats the purpose of having uninsured motorist protection.
Right. So what did the court do?
Well, they said that these conflicting excess clauses canceled each other out.
Interesting.
So both INA and Countrywide were considered primary insurers.
Okay, so they both had to pay.
Exactly.
But how did they figure out who pays how much?
The court decided they would share the responsibility proportionally.
Proportionally to what?
To their policy limit.
Okay.
So in this case, INA had to cover 60%.
Okay.
And Countrywide had to cover 40%.
And that was probably based on how much coverage each policy provided.
Most likely, yeah.
So the court basically prevented the insurance companies from using these clauses to avoid paying.
Right.
And made sure that Godwin got the coverage he was supposed to have.
Exactly. That's the main point.
Okay. So we've covered a lot in this deep dive into Insurance Company of North America v. Godwin.
We have.
What are the three big takeaways for our listeners?
All right. So first, we learned that public policy, as expressed in laws like that New York insurance law we talked about.
Section 1172A.
Right. Can be more powerful than specific things written in insurance contracts.
So in this case, public policy wins?
It does. And that's really important for protecting New Yorkers from uninsured drivers.
And that protection doesn't go away just because the accident happens outside of New York?
Nope. It travels with them.
It's about protecting people, not just following the letter of a contract.
Right.
What's the second big takeaway?
So the second one is the rule of contra proferentum, which is a pretty powerful tool for people who have insurance policies.
How so?
Well, if the language in the policy is vague or ambiguous.
Like we saw with INA's definition of automobile.
Exactly. Then the court will interpret it in favor of the person who bought the policy.
So read your policies carefully, folks.
Yes. And if something isn't clear, it might work in your favor.
And lastly, the third takeaway.
So if you have multiple insurance policies and they both have these clauses that say their coverage is excess.
Right. The backup coverage.
Right. Those clauses basically cancel each other out.
So both companies are on the hook.
Exactly. They both become primary insurers and have to share the cost.
Like INA and Countrywide in this case.
Exactly. That way, the person who's insured gets the full protection they paid for.
Awesome. So those are three really important legal principles in action.
Definitely important for understanding insurance law.
So for everyone listening, think about how these ideas might apply in other areas of the law.
Good point.
Like the idea that public policy can sometimes override contracts.
Right.
Or that unclear language can be interpreted against the person who wrote it.
It comes up more than you might think.
It makes you look at contracts in a whole new light.
Absolutely, especially in areas like insurance where there's so much regulation.
Lots to think about.
For sure.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into insurance law.
Glad to be here.
See you next time.